Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله رب العالمين We thank Allah Azza wa Jal, our sustainer, provider, cherisher and nourisher, master of the day of judgment, the owner, initiator and creator of everything that exists. Peace and blessings be upon Nabi Akram Nuri Mujassam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his illustrious family and noble companions alayhim ridwan. Welcome, marhaba, ahlan wa sahlan bikum to one and all. You are welcome to our weekly program together with our honorable co-host, Ziyad Madani, hafidhahullah. We say marhaba and ahlan wa sahlan bikum to one and all. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. تیری نسل پاک میں ہے بچہ بچہ نور کا تو ہے عین نور تیرا سب گھرانہ نور کا چمک تجھ سے پاتے ہیں سب پانے والے میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے برستا نہیں دیکھ کر ابر رحمت بدوں پر بھی برسا دے برسانے والے الحمدللہ ثم الحمدللہ Yes, dear viewers of Madani channel, we have discussions and topic related to our reformation, dear viewers, whereas we find a chance to change our lives, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, getting closer to Islam and fixing up those mistakes that we may have committed in our lives. Alhamdulillah, together with our honorable Ziyad Madani, we have spoken on various topics and discussions, alhamdulillah. How wonderful was the Madani Mudhakiras, Mulana Sahib, the wonderful and amazing knowledgeable programs that were broadcasted live from UK, from Pakistan, from South Africa as well, mashallah. Wonderful topics, discussions, I would say on Madani channel and watch Madani channel, Mawla Sahib.
Yes.
The amount of information and the programs that are so knowledge-based, mashallah, Mawla Sahib. They give us a way to understand matters differently because not everybody has the time to read books, Mawlana Sahib. Mm-hmm. And these bayans and programs that you watch on Madani channel, especially our great ulama and scholars of Madani channel, when you watch and listen to their bayans like our Honorable Amir Ahl Sunnah, Subhanallah, Mufti Qasim Sahib, and many other ulama and Muftiani Kiram, Subhanallah, I would say, Mawlana Sahib, you can never say that you have not learned anything.
Absolutely.
By the time you switch the TV on or off from on, after watching this program, you are in the state of where you can share that knowledge already. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Have you ever experienced that, Mawlana Sahib?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. One of my favorite is Madani Muzakara of Amir al-Sunnat. And Alhamdulillah,
Mashallah.
To date, I can say that there isn't a Madani Muzakara that I watched in which I didn't learn something. Mm. I've always learned from Amir al-Sunnat. There's great scholars like Nasa mentioned Mufti Qasim Sahib. Allah Azza wa Jalla grant him long life and health. He's been such amazing khidmah of deen. And various other ulama kiram under the banner of Dawat Islami, through the guidance of Amir al-Sunnah, they're doing such amazing work and they're such oceans of knowledge. Alhamdulillah, may Allah Ta'ala preserve the scholars of knowledge. Ameen.
Ameen. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. I think this is one of the reasons why today we have a very important discussion.
Right.
And this is about a rishta and relationship. We have established relationship with humans in the dunya, especially I'm referring to husband and wife, maybe children, relationship with teachers, relationship with friends. We have established many relationships in the dunya, Ma Sahib. The question is, have we established relationship with our Islamic scholars?
Mm.
Allahu Akbar. And I think need of the times, dear viewers, is something very important. And to me, as well as to our Honorable Ziyad Madani, this is a serious matter. Because this matter concerns the youth of today who have no such strong bond and connection with scholars of Islam. And those scholars who are very well connected with the books of Islam, yani with the Sharia, with the laws of Allah Azza wa Jalla, with the laws of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These are important matters, for as long as we understand that we have been sent here for a mission, and that is to please our Rabb Allah Azza wa Jalla. There are rules and regulations for you to live your life. And who have mastered these regulations, who have mastered this subject and topic, dear viewers of Madani channel, It is the scholars who have went out, leaving their comfort zones, struggling and thriving for years, maybe 15, 20, 30. And after many years, when they acquire ilm-e deen, subhanallah, then they convey that message which the Anbiya and the messengers of Allah Azza wa Jalla had conveyed throughout their lives, dear viewers.
Subhanallah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Islam is this beautiful deen, Mulana Sahib. Approximately 124,000 messengers came from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, then his children, Shaytha alayhi salam, Idris alayhi salam, moving on to Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, and so many prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Siratul Anbiya is a very beautiful book which mentions the names as well, mashallah. If somebody wants to learn more about the Anbiya and messengers, please get your hands on this book. For now, you will have to buy the hard copy, inshallah. Very soon, the soft will be available on the internet, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, the soft copy itself. However, for now, maybe they can contact the closest bookshops of Dawud Islami in your area, Maktabatul Madina of Dawud Islami. And inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, this book can be available. Many people have purchased it already, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. It's available in English as well, Mulana Sahib.
Wow.
Why I'm saying this is because I was honored to purchase one copy, and I'm really, really happy to read this book, mashallah, alhamdulillah. Anyway, these are the blessed messengers of Allah Azza wa Jalla who came for the propagation of Allah's oneness, to propagate the message which Allah Azza wa Jalla had revealed to his messengers. And they continued to reveal this message, dear viewers, from time to time as Allah Kareem sent them for the guidance of their nations. When our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came for the guidance of his nation, subhanallah, he came and he enjoys the rank of being the last messenger and the prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla. After him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no other prophet to come, subhanallah. So the question is, and a very big question is, who does carry this mission? The messengers of Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. Who are those honorable people who shall carry such a heavy message? Yani, this message comes from our Lord, our Creator, our Sustainer, the Lord of all the worlds, subhanallah. And he has revealed his rules and regulations for us, how to live on this planet, to his messengers. And after they have conveyed that message, and once again, when the nations and people become aggressive, and people once again dwell in gunah and sins, who again would remind them that this is what the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla had stated? Who will continue to reveal this message until the day of judgment, conveying this message? This task has been delegated to the people of knowledge, dear viewers, to the scholars of Islam, to the inheritors of knowledge, those who have inherited knowledge from the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, because Mulana Sahib, a hadith states very clearly that the messengers of Allah Azza wa Jalla do not leave dirham or dinar behind.
Absolutely.
They do not leave assets and wealth behind.
Mm-hmm.
If they leave anything behind, it is ilm and knowledge.
Subhanallah.
And the ulama of this deen inherit knowledge, Mulana Sahib.
Wow.
They are the inheritors of the knowledge left behind by the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam.
Subhanallah.
So this alone gives a lot of importance to knowledge itself. Again, just have another look very quickly, Mulana Sahib. Look at Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, subhanallah. We're talking about the people of knowledge right now, to understand how important knowledge itself is, subhanallah.
Right.
What's the power of ilm? The power of ilm is this, that when angels were commanded to make sajda to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, it was on the basis of knowledge, Mulana Sahib.
Yes.
Ulama ikram mentioned it was on the basis of ilm and knowledge.
Yes.
Look at, subhanallah, other prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam intended to journey all the way to Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam, meeting by Majma' al-Bahrain.
Yes.
And the reason for that was only knowledge and ilm, that Allah revealed to him that there is someone who has lots of knowledge and ilm.
Wow.
And the desire to meet with Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam increased in the heart of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, who is already Kalimullah. Allahu Akbar. This shows us, Mulana Sahib, that Asif bin Barqiyah, who was a wali in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam's time, and how he performed a saintly miracle by bringing the throne of Bilqis to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Quran mentions that he had little knowledge of the book. Allahu Akbar. So the knowledge of the book that he had made it possible for him to perform this karamat, subhanallah. So it is on knowledge, Mulana Sahib. In fact, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam was also ordered and instructed by Allah Kareem to make dua for knowledge itself, Mulana Sahib, according to ahadith and many numerous narrations. And the list goes on. In fact, if you look at Qarun, who was a disgraceful person in the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was pious at one stage and then money changed his mindset, and then he became against Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But who were the people who advised him? Who were those people who went up to tell a rich man who had lots of wealth? It was the people of knowledge who went to advise him. What was the advice of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam? No other businessman on his level went to advise him, but rather those who had knowledge were commanded to go and advise him.
Absolutely.
So all these are indications to us that what are the value, what is the value and the status and the maqam of those who have ilm and knowledge, Mulana Sahib. Unfortunately, we live in times where the value of such people has faded. And it's fading as time goes, Mulana Sahib. There is more value given to those who perhaps are narrating off the internet, those who are reading and narrating things without any much research, as compared to those who are striving and trying to learn ilm deen. And there's a lot of other sacrifices that you've got to go through. So, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, firstly, we need to establish the importance of ilm itself, Mulana Sahib. What is the importance of knowledge itself? And thereafter, we need to ask ourselves, when knowledge is so important, ilm is noor and light. Ilm is power.
Yes.
Ilm will empower the next person. Knowledge removes people from darkness and brings them to light. It is through knowledge you are able to excel in life and you will be able to go far as the sky is the limit, Mulana Sahib, they say.
SubhanAllah.
But when knowledge is so important, and I would say, Mulana Sahib, from teenage or from youthful days, children are sent to school from grade RRY. 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way to metric. I'm just saying, when it comes to secular education, so much of importance and so much of time is dedicated because those who give knowledge of the dunya understand the value of that knowledge. But SubhanAllah, our scholars, and rather I would say, Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, the awliya kamilin, have instilled in our hearts and mind the importance of dini knowledge.
Yes.
Which will bring about dunyawi benefits and benefits related to the akhirah as well.
Absolutely.
So how do we understand this matter? Because Mawlana Sahib, we are living in times where the knowledge is very much highlighted. There are many classes, there are many schools and institutes offering classes to educate people, to remind them that education is so important. Lakin some have the time, some may not have the time. And because of this, others are very far away from knowledge itself as well as from those who give knowledge and teach, from the ulamas and scholars. How do we overcome this gap, Mawlana Sahib?
SubhanAllah, Azza wa Jalla. The ilm of the deen, the importance of Islamic knowledge must be highlighted firstly. You see, when something is understood to be important, that's when we start to give more value to it. And when we understand the importance of Islamic knowledge, we're going to start giving value to that Islamic knowledge as well.
Right.
So Rasulullah has encouraged us, not just encouraged us, has told us that it's necessary for us to seek that knowledge. The famous hadith, talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslim. So if seeking of knowledge, and ulama ikram mentioned that this is knowledge of the deen. Knowledge of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is necessary. Seeking that knowledge is necessary upon every male and female believer, every male and female Muslim. So when we do understand that knowledge itself is so important, then inshallah Azza wa Jal will be motivated to seek that knowledge. And we must know that our a'mal, we all came here to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the purpose of dunya. That's the purpose of our existence within dunya, to worship Allah Rabbul Izzah. But in order to attain that, we have to have knowledge. Otherwise, how will you worship Allah Azza wa Jal? Someone may say, I really want Jannah. So you want Jannah, do you know what's the first step to Jannah? Someone may say, A'mal Salihah, doing good deeds. Well, what's the first step to A'mal Salihah? Good deeds. It's attaining knowledge. So you find that knowledge sits at the central point. It is the central focus of all that which we want. And more so, in dunya we have, you know, a little benefit that we receive through our general worldly knowledge, for which, Mawlana Sahib explained very beautifully, we sacrifice many years of our lives. Children are now going to school in grade R and grade double R, and they're going to grade 1 to 12 in South Africa, and that's already what's like 14 years of schooling already complete. And after 14 years of schooling, you go for 3-year degrees and then honors and then masters and then PhD. By the time we're done with our education, we realize we spent 20 somewhat years on attaining such knowledge that will benefit us for plus minus the next 20 years. Whilst there are certain sciences that we can learn that the benefit of that knowledge does not end after 20 years and 30 years and 50 years. If someone lives in dunya for 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, that knowledge of dunya only benefits him for that period of time. But there are such knowledges, such sciences that you can learn that can benefit you in the dunya when you close your eyes, when you go into the qabr, and when you wake up on mahshar. All of this time, that knowledge will benefit you. And you can leave those sciences behind in the dunya. You can teach people that.
Oh, I agree.
And that becomes a means of rewards and perpetual rewards for you. One of the things Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned regarding such a'mal, such good deeds, the benefit of which is perpetual, continuous. Rasulullah ﷺ said that when a human being passes away, when he leaves the dunya, his a'mal are cut off, meaning he can't attain any more good deeds. except three people. There are three categories of people that their good deeds continue even after they pass away. And which are those three people? Rasulullah mentioned that those three people is, number one, you have a person who did some sort of sadaqah jariyah. The benefit of that sadaqah, the benefit of the assistance that he has given to the community continues after he leaves the dunya, and therefore he continuously receives the reward. Rasulullah also mentioned regarding the person who leaves a pious son, a pious child who makes dua for the parent. But between those two, Rasulullah mentioned a certain person who receives rewards continuously as well, and that is a person who leaves behind knowledge through which people benefit.
Wow.
So knowledge, learning that knowledge and teaching that knowledge is going to bring us so much of benefit. Once we learn about knowledge and the importance of knowledge, now we yearn to seek that knowledge. And that's what brings into perspective the importance of those who have knowledge. If someone loves engineering, he will love engineers. Someone loves bridges, he'll look for civil engineers. Someone loves, you know, mechanics, he'll look for mechanical engineers. Someone loves medicine, they are attracted to a doctor. They want to spend time in their company. Someone loves Quran, Hadith, Fiqh, the knowledge of Deen. They are naturally drawn to those who possess that knowledge, and that is the ulama of the Deen. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And wow. So, whenever we realize or we think about our relationship with the scholars of Islam, right. Islamic scholars, our relationship with Islamic scholars, our attraction towards Islamic scholars is a gauge by which we can realize the value that we give to and the love that we have for Ilmidi.
Achcha.
If someone loves, values Islamic scholars, wants their company, it means he loves the knowledge of Deen. If someone loves medicine, you would love to sit in the company of doctors. And when you sit in the company of doctors all the time, it means you really love the study of medicine. Just like that. If you want to sit in the company of scholars, you love the company of scholars. When you open your phone, you find the names of scholars on your contact list. That gives you a good hint. It gives you a hint that you are someone who is really attracted to the knowledge of the Quran, knowledge of the Hadith, the knowledge of the fiqh of Islam.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. I like the way Masa put it, and the way you said it, it just reminded me of a person whom I met.
Right. Well,
and he was just showing me that how many mulanas I have on my phone.
MashaAllah.
And he was saying, Tabriz bhai, look at how many ulamas I have on my phone. Look
MashaAllah.
And he was counting and counting and counting. I think he counted over 30, 33, MashaAllah. If my memory serves me well.
Alhamdulillah.
And then the next question I asked him was that, MashaAllah, you have over 30 ulamas on your phone, on your call list.
MashaAllah.
From your contacts. And how many from amongst this 30 or 30 plus are you in touch with? Are you connected with? And then he mentioned that, well, when I have questions and queries, I'm able to contact them and I have a relationship with them. And alhamdulillah, this was a good thing. So, Maulana Sahib, this is a very important question. Why do you feel that people of today do not have any relationship and contact with the ulama? Is there a feeling in your heart that you feel that the youth of today have no rapta, no connection with the scholars of deen? Do you feel this way?
Yes, I do feel that many youth don't have connection with ulama-i-kiram. And the reason for that, there's a few reasons I'd like to share. But one of the primary reasons is that which I've mentioned already, that we haven't placed in our hearts the love for the knowledge of deen. When you love the knowledge of deen, when you love the deen, you will love knowledge of deen. When you love the knowledge of deen, you will love those who possess the knowledge of deen. So you'll be attracted to them. When we have in our hearts a love for the knowledge of deen, we'll be attracted to the possessors of the knowledge of deen, which are the ulama and kiram. So that's one reason that I do feel we lack love for the knowledge of deen as a community, as the youth in general. We're not pinpointing anyone. Illa mashallah, there are those who love Islam and love the knowledge of deen and love the Quran and love the ulama. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless them and elevate their status.
Ameen, Allahumma.
Then again, we also notice that people tend to pull away from scholars sometimes for a few reasons. Number one is sometimes they realize that the scholars of Islam, they are very quick or very easily catch our tongues. That means if I say something, I was just joking, but the alim-e-deen, Mawlana Sahib, Mufti Sahib said, we can't joke in this manner, we can't say this, be careful. Now, for that reason, people are afraid to speak in the presence of ulama, and therefore they are afraid of the company of ulama. Well, for those people, I would suggest that you should not be afraid of the company of ulama. You should spend time in their company, and when they correct you, take the correction, because that will help you not to make mistakes.
Again.
Right. Like, for example, someone says that, I'm scared to sit near a doctor because he'll remind me to eat healthy. So that means you'll run away from every doctor, eat unhealthy and get sick. Mm. No. Adopt the company of doctors. Let them tell you this is healthy and that is unhealthy, because it's for your betterment. You will be the healthier person. Then again, people tend to avoid sometimes the company of the scholars of deen, and they avoid asking them questions. And one of the things I found, one of the reasons I found that people tend to avoid asking questions regarding the deen, of the scholars of deen, is because they are afraid of showing off it being exposed that they don't know.
Achcha.
So this feeling of my ignorance will be exposed. This is something that keeps people away from the company of ulama and away from asking questions. For these people, for us who might have this feeling in our hearts, we need to realize that we all don't know something. There's something or the other that we all don't
agree.
Know. But us asking the question is the first step to knowledge. Us not knowing and recognizing that we don't know will create the yearning to know. And then asking the question, you know, there's a beautiful saying of a very pious personality that as-su'al, the question is nisful ilm. Just the question itself is half of knowledge. If we realize we don't know, we're going to ask questions. And when we ask questions, we're already one step there. We're already halfway there. Then we listen attentively, we get the answer. And subhanallah azza wa jal, once we receive the answers, then we have gained knowledge. And that's beautiful, isn't it? That once we have gained knowledge, now from someone who didn't know, you become someone who knows. Someone once told me, a very beautiful saying, that if you rather ask and seem ignorant for a moment, then be silent and remain ignorant for life.
Allah.
Rather ask and seem ignorant, seem that you don't know for one moment, after that you'll know, because you ask, you'll receive an answer, rather than being quiet, being silent, and for your entire life you don't know. So, adopt the company of ulama, spend time in their company, ask questions, ask the ulama. Their ulama ikram, they studied their entire lives so that they can assist us. But imagine if the professional is there, the one who learned, the one, the ocean of knowledge is sitting in front of you, and we say, no, we're not feeling thirsty. We don't want a drop. You know, it's like that in today's time. And information is available. Water everywhere, not a drop to drink, because Allahu, we don't want to drink.
Allahu Akbar. What a true thing to say. And even when the Quran instructs us to investigate and to find out, it says it clearly, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهَلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لا تعلمون. Allahu Akbar. So, Ahl al-Dhikr Munasah. They have been mentioned here, and people of knowledge have been mentioned here. In other words, ulamas are mentioned in this verse. Ask the people of knowledge. And where do you think the youth of today are referring to when they need to investigate any questions such as Islamic questions?
It's a sad reality that many people go towards searches, different search engines, like for example Google search engine, and they feel that I can simply search up and I'll find something. This is also so important that we address Mulana Sahib, that when this knowledge is so valuable, then most definitely we need to ensure that the source of this knowledge is correct.
Yes.
If I want to proper advice regarding the law, I need to find the lawyer and the best lawyer, and he will advise me regarding the law. If I want proper advice regarding accounting, I need to find the accountant. If I want proper advice regarding medicine, I need to find the doctor. I'm not going to go to the doctor and ask him about the law. I'm not going to go to the lawyer and ask him about medicine, vice versa, etc. And so, when we want knowledge of the deen, we need to find the proper sources of the knowledge of deen. And the proper sources of the knowledge of deen are the rightly guided ulama-i-kiram. They are able to understand the knowledge of deen and explain it to us in a way which is most suitable, which is most suitable to our needs. Nowadays, we find that people tend to think that, okay, I'll be able to Google it and I'll find the answer to my problem. I'll find the answer to my situation. Whilst not every situation is the same, perhaps you have one question in mind and you're getting the answer to something else. Perhaps someone explained one situation and your situation is completely different. There are many times that people understand the complete opposite thing from that which they listen to. That's because they never took the time to ask a scholar. And not every scholar, this is a bit of a bold statement I'm making, not every scholar out on the internet is a rightly guided scholar. Not every scholar out there on the internet is a rightly guided scholar. The rightly guided scholars are those scholars that have the fuyuz and barakat of the link that they have with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So their ilm had been passed on from the most reliable source, the beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to reliable sources, until it had come down to them and it had reached them, and they delivered that ilm which has a perfect unbroken chain to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Their chain is full of fuyuz and barakat, full of blessings. Those are the scholars that we need to attach ourselves to. And one of the ways that you can find, Maaf, I'm discussing this a little further, that one of the ways that you can realize and recognize those good, rightly guided scholars is that many a times you will find that they are amil upon their ilm. They act upon their knowledge. And subhanallah azza wa jal, I'll take one example. Shaykh al-Tariqat Amir al-Sunnah. You see that he acts upon every sunnah that he has
Allahu Akbar.
That he's
so
learnt
true.
Of the sunnah of the amama and you'll see it upon
it's
his
so
head.
True.
He's learnt of the sunnah of miswak, you will see him use it. He's learnt of the sunnahs of eating, you will see him practicing it. Alhamdulillah, these are signs of rightly guided scholars. That it's not that they've learnt of the beautiful sunnah of keeping a beard and then they shave their beards off. So how has such a scholar benefited from his own ilm? Do we think he's going to bring us benefit? Then many a times is bereft of fuyuz and barakat. He doesn't have the blessings of the chain of that knowledge to pass on to you. He's learnt a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but he's bereft of fuyuz. He's barefaced, without any faiz. Our Ustad Sahib, Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamid Sahib, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he used to tell us, you need barefaced ulama,
Allah,
not barefaced ulama.
Allah.
You need ulama ikram that are full of blessings. You don't need someone who has learnt a little text, but he receives no blessings.
Allahu Akbar. So the actual mission and work is carried out by those who have blessings and barakah.
Absolutely.
We have seen people that they may have been weak in their class, but the blessings and barakah of faiz takes them very far.
Ah, subhanallah, absolutely.
Shaitan had lots of knowledge and ilm.
Yes.
Since we are talking about knowledge itself, was there anyone who was more knowledgeable than Shaitan at that time? At that time, Allah had given him so much of knowledge and ilm. From amongst his creation, from amongst the angels and jinns. Mm. He was granted knowledge and ilm, but dear viewers, where did his knowledge take him? Aba wastakbara wa kana min al-kafirin.
Allah.
This was his state. He was doomed. He was kicked out of that kingdom. He was removed. He was doomed. And he shall be doomed till the day of judgment, till the day of resurrection. Yes, he's given respite from now till a certain time. When there will be a blast and echo between the earth and sky, Munasabi state that Allah has given him time till that moment. Do whatever you want to do. And but Shaitan is using his time and he is utilizing his time in the way he should be doing it. Because this was the challenge he took, that I will mislead people. And he is not wasting any time in misleading people. It is us, dear viewers, who are slacking, who are becoming lazier and lazier, who are moving far away from the teachings and from the deen. Allahu Akbar. If we just focus a little on what Maulana Ziyad Sahib had mentioned, important, priceless Madani pearls. So it is the people of knowledge without any doubt. Ulamas are given respect, Maulana Sahib. I mean, I don't understand myself why in the world people, you know, I won't say ridicule the status of ulama, but they, to some extent, frighten the learners of today that if you become an alim deen, what's your future going to look like? I mean, people of knowledge, Allah Kareem gave them kingdom. I mean, look at Dawood Ali Salatu Wasalam. He was a prophet of Allah. Do you know prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Many of them have did works like herding goats, dear viewers.
Allahu Akbar.
Jiha. Doing farming. I mean, Shuaib Ali Salatu Wasalam, who was the father of Musa Ali Salatu Wasalam, he worked for him for around over 7 years. Doing what? The farming for Shuaib Ali Salatu Wasalam, herding his goats for him. Until he made nikah with his wife. Yes, dear viewers. Do you know? Nabi Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam became a king. And in his youthful days, Mulana Sahib, subhanallah, Allah Kareem shows us from time to time, this is the nizam of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You know, Wallahu yarzuqu man yasha'u bi ghayri hisab. There is no restriction, Mulana Sahib, only to a businessman that only he can succeed in the dunya.
Actually, you mentioned Sayyidina Nabi Dawud alayhi salam, he was a personality. You know, regarding this great personality, he would eat from the amal of his own hands.
Allahu
Akbar. He used to work himself with his own blessed hands in order to earn so that he could feed himself.
Allahu
so
Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Rizq is such that it is in the power of Allah Azza wa Jalla and it's according to the destiny that Allah Azza wa Jalla has predestined for everyone. If you see that one personality is working and eating, working with his own hands, his own hard work, building armor and making armor and making swords, and thereafter Allah Ta'ala gives him kingdom. And such a kingdom, Sayyidina Dawud alayhi salam is given. The inheritance of that kingdom who came to Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, kingdom over dunya, not just human beings, but upon a kingdom over the animals,
Allah,
over the insects, over
everything,
the jinn.
Everything.
So much came from the, was inherited from Sayyidina Dawud alayhi salam. We must understand, when we discuss ulama ikram and people feel that, if I make my child an alim, how will they live? Do we think for any moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not capable of giving rizq to His beloved servants? He Azza wa Jal has fed, Allah Rabbul Izzah has fed the ignorant. Do we think Allah will not feed the learned? Allah Azza wa Jal has fed the kuffar. Do we think Allah Azza wa Jal will not feed the believer? Allah Azza wa Jal has fed those people who tried to destroy knowledge. Do we think Allah Azza wa Jal will not feed those who are upholding knowledge? We need to understand and we need to set our priorities right. Understand that our rizq is written by Allah Azza wa Jal. As long as we have, you know, worry about how much we can earn and how much we can do, we'll be stuck within our own little bubbles. Come out of it. Come out of those bubbles and realize my rizq is not upon me. My rizq is upon my Rabb.
Allah,
I am here to serve my Rabb. I am here to serve the cause that Allah Azza wa Jal loves for me to serve. And I have left my sustenance upon the responsibility, or rather let me say upon the mercy of my Rabb. He will feed me as He wills. And then you will see that when you have your own hand trying to feed you, your hand is not very capable. Your own power is not very capable. But when your Rabb feeds you, then where's the shortage?
Kya baat hai, subhanAllah. And imagine, Mahasab, for what a beautiful piece of advice scholars are giving this advice, Mahasab.
SubhanAllah.
This is something so common for us to understand. When this planet belongs to the Creator, Allah Azza wa Jalla, everything, I mean, for us to get amazed by the existence of the moon, the other planets, so huge, so big, how is it possible? Allah wants to show you whether He can do that, then why can't He feed you?
Mahasab, I'm going to ask
Allahu
you,
Akbar.
Maybe a difficult question that I'm just asking. That, Labbe. MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Mahasab, Allah Ta'ala has blessed you that you were given the opportunity to study the knowledge of Deen. Alhamdulillah, Allah's ihsan upon you. Alhamdulillah, we must thank Allah Azza wa Jal that you were given the opportunity to study the knowledge of Deen, and you were given the opportunity to serve the knowledge of Deen as well. That Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, you are there to deliver the knowledge of Deen to the people. That through your life and as time goes, Alhamdulillah, whilst you're working in this field, I'm asking this question. Have you ever gone to bed in such a way that there was nothing for you to eat and your stomach was hungry and you feared death?
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. What a question to ask. And the answer to this is that there were moments when I actually asked myself, why did I overeat?
Allah.
You need the abundance of rizq which Allah Kareem has provided to His infinite mercy.
So Alhamdulillah, I am just sharing this example Allahu so Akbar. Viewers can also understand that people who pursue this path, Allah feeds them. Allah gives to them. There are many times that we have seen ulama-i-kiram, scholars of deen, as well as professionals of different fields and businessmen, etc., enter a certain room. I've seen it many a times that people enter the room. And when people enter the room, people tend to give some recognition. Assalamu alaikum, mashallah, you've come. So-and-so businessman has come. So-and-so professional has come. But when the scholar of deen comes in, people stand up. When the scholar of deen comes in, people say, Assalamu alaikum. They go to the door to try to meet him and welcome him. Allah has placed izzah.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Azza wa Jal has placed izzah, honor, in the knowledge of his deen. And whoever attaches themselves to that knowledge of deen in any positive way, Allah Azza wa Jal grants that person some of that izzah as well.
SubhanAllah. And Mawlana Sahib, through the barakat of Amir Ahl Sunnat,
Alhamdulillah,
through his fires and blessings, whomever he had groomed and made the way he wanted them to shine, one of the shining stars is great Mufti of South Africa, who had just passed on, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Hafiz Uqari Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi Sahib, Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. Allahu Akbar. He was a gem, Mawlana Sahib. He was that glitter and that shine which Amir al-Sunnat had, subhanAllah, further made him glitter and shine. SubhanAllah, his personality is such, and I've seen this in Mufti Sahib Zat, that children, I mean, it's very hard to find somebody in his 50s and 60s and have children who are 10, 12 years old to be attracted to their personalities.
Yes.
It's very hard. I mean, children get attracted to children, you know, and they working on the age gap. And to find Mufti Sahib with, mashallah, Dari Mubarak, and for him to be with his Imama Sharif, his Madani Libas, mashallah, and then you have children around who would not feel shy. In other words, he's approachable.
Absolutely.
So approachable that even children would not feel shy to ask any question. This was something I really, really, really had taken something to my heart, Mawlana Sahib. I mean, you, his direct student, mashallah, we're all the students of Mufti Sahib, and I'm sure Madani Channel, many of our viewers out there had got to see his janazah, the amount of people in his janazah, the amount of ulamas that made dua in his janazah, at his janazah. And this is our yaqeen that through his blessings and the barakah of all those who participated in the janazah, we are forgiven, Mawlana Sahib. May Allah Kareem forgive us. May Allah Kareem forgive us and forgive all those who participated in that amazing janazah, janazah of a great scholar. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Mufti Sahib is that one personality whom I had seen with my naked eye. How children and the youth out there would be like how easels are on fire, you know? Allahu Akbar. Usi tarah ghere rehte the. And I've seen this in his Zat of Amil Sunnat as well.
Absolutely.
Nigran Shura as well. Haj Abdul Habib At-Tari Hafidhullah as well. Many of our Arakeen Shura have the same personality and they are people of knowledge. And generally too, we see ulamas, mashallah, who know the andaz and a style of how to win children, especially mashallah. They would bring them closer, not with the niyat of only praising them, how beautiful they look and how nice they are and how childish they are, but rather together with that, subhanallah, bringing them closer to say something that would inspire their hearts. Something that would make them go into that route, into that path. I mean, I have met children, youth of today, who said to me 5 years ago, we met Nigrani Shura and he made dua and he even said, we must become Hafiz. Now we want to become Hafiz al-Quran.
MashaAllah.
I met Nigrani Shura or one of the members of Dawud Islami who said to me, I must become Alim Adin. Now I want to become Alim Adin. We do meet people from time to time. So one thing you mentioned, parents are saying from so long to become like that, to do this, do that, but no. And here a scholar says it just once or twice in a gathering. So it's definitely Mu'asab, the thing that children and the youth out there or people generally are attracted to something of that Alim Adin. Either his speech, either the way of the way he orates, his knowledge itself. Like Mufti Qasim sahab, whenever you would see him on Madani channel, I have brothers who tell me, Tabriz, we cannot just off the TV channel. We want to watch and we want to learn something. And likewise, many other ulamas of Dawud Islami, mashallah, who impart knowledge. So the thing is that, Mawlana Sahib, all of this is available. It's just that we now need to establish that rishta, that to make this rishta qaim, to establish this bond with the scholars of deen so that we can benefit here and in the akhirah as well. And trust me, for those who are very, very disconnected, yani, even to perform a nikah, you have to ask 20 people to make a plan to phone on Alim Adin. It means you are very far away from the knowledge itself. Because people who possess that knowledge are the ones who will instill this in your heart. Some way or the other, be connected to the ulamas. Be connected to the ulamas, the true ulamas. Like how, mashallah, our students were connected to Mufti Sahib. Can you please tell us something about Mufti Sahib, Mawlana Sahib? I want to hear something about him. And especially his student life, if it's possible, mashallah. You stayed in his company for several years, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
How was that journey with Mufti Sahib in the Jamia?
The journey with Mufti Sahib is beautiful, alhamdulillah, from the beginning, from before we started studies, to our studies, till after our studies. I can say that ulama-i kiram get busy, alhamdulillah. Mufti Sahib, when I look at how busy we get, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then I realize Ustad Sahib was so much more busy, Ustad Mufti Abdul Hamid Sahib, so much more busy, yet I don't remember a time that I called Ustad Sahib and he couldn't take my call unless he was in salah. But he'd take the call and he'd answer our questions. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, he's among those people that, you know, Mawlana Sahib said that students flock or youngsters flock around ulama-i kiram. He's definitely among those personalities that even before we started our courses, we were, you know, attracted to the personality, the akhlaq of Mufti Sahib. He was one of those people that, you know, we discuss ba-fairs ulama. Ulama-i kiram that are ba'amal, that act upon their knowledge. We've seen that in this great personality, that he lived his knowledge, he acted upon his knowledge, and so we were attracted to him, and that created lots of athar in his speech.
So you knew Mufti Sahib before you went to Jamia?
Ji, alhamdulillah.
And was he one of the reasons, one of the motivations, should I say? Was he his zat and personality?
One of the motivations for me to start my course and one of the major motivations for me to finish my course. I'm sharing something personal as well. That during my course, I came out of my course for a little while to pursue some other routes in education, worldly education as well. And Ustad Sahib, Ustad Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamid Sahib, one of the reasons I've managed to get back into the study and to complete the study as well and continue the study under Ustad Sahib was that he never gave up hope in me. And that means a lot. It will always mean a lot. That if I came out to pursue any other field, Ustad Sahib would make a point of coming to visit me to tell me, when are you coming back? I'm waiting for you.
Allahu Akbar.
And he would instruct me from time to time that, come back, I'm waiting for you. He'd speak to my father and say, bring him back, I'm waiting for him. And he never gave up hope until, alhamdulillah, maybe he was expecting it, but one day I gave him a call and said, Ustad Sahib, I'm coming back. And he said, I've been waiting for you. Come, I'm waiting for you. Allah. And he, you know, continued the education again with me, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. His shafqa was always there. His kindness was always there. He was always very kind to us, very soft towards us. He had a different andaz. I like the andaz of certain scholars. We love the andaz of, mashallah, every scholar has his own way. Mufti Abdul Nawawi Hamidi Sahib had a way of explaining the most complex masail in the simplest of words.
Yeah.
That's something I find in Mufti Qasim Sahib as well. That by the time they finished explaining it, you wonder, how is it that I was struggling so much to understand this?
It's
so
easy. Hai, mashallah. Definitely.
It's an art. It's a gift Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with. They were concepts that we couldn't wrap our heads around until Ustad Sahib mentions them to
Allahu.
Us. He had the andaz and the style of explaining it. This is faqaha, you know, it is a fiqh that Allah Ta'ala grants people, a level of understanding that Allah Ta'ala grants them, that they understand the deen so beautifully and so well that they can explain it well, very well and very simply. There's a famous thing of Einstein, the scientist, that he would say that if you can't explain something simply enough, then you don't know it well enough.
Okay.
And I've realized that Ustad Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamid Sahib knew a lot very well, because he was able to take almost any concept and simplify it and present it to us. Alhamdulillah, and he increased that yearning to learn. I know there were many times in Hadar and in Safar that I've been blessed to be with Ustad Sahib in you know, whilst we were staying at Jami'ah and whilst we were on journey as well. Ustad Sahib had this way that he'd just phone me at any time. Alhamdulillah, it's my honor that he'd phone me at any time and he'd say, Ziyad Bhai, he says, we're leaving in 2 hours' time. I'm coming there to Jami, I'm coming to pick you up. So I'd say, Ji, labbaik Ustad Sahib. And I don't know where we're going. I just pack some bags, I'll put something together, and I'll be waiting for Ustad Sahib. And he will come and he will jump off the car, and I will jump into the driver's seat. And then he will tell me, we are going to, example, we are going to Polokwane, we're going to be there for a week. Labbaik Ustad Sahib. And we used to go. I would wait for certain moments, even these moments. And it was my, because he placed so much of love for ilm deen in us, my questions that I had for however long, I used to jot them down and write them down. And as soon as I see the opportunity that Ustad Sahib is a little free, Ustad Sahib, can I ask some questions? He said, yes, ask. And mashallah, one by one, by one, by one, things that I've been thinking about and trying to, you know, they say, wreck your brains on for weeks on end. He would listen to the situation and give me the answer within seconds. It's like this. Ustad Sahib, I don't understand this certain hadith, these words are mentioned. Within seconds, it's like this. And I think, Ya Allah, what hikmah Allah has blessed him with. So much of hikmah. He's written tafsir of the Holy Quran. He's taught the sciences of hadith. He's taught the subjects of hadith. Alhamdulillah, we're honored to learn Bukhari Sharif under Ustad Sahib as well. And the amount of knowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with is immense. And he spent from that knowledge, meaning he gave. One of the reasons that knowledge is superior to wealth. Wealth, when you spend of it, it decreases. Knowledge, when you spend of it, meaning when you teach, it increases. And that's really something I saw, that Ustad Sahib was never stingy with knowledge. Never miserly with knowledge. If anyone asked him, he was there to teach. You could call him at any time. Ustad Sahib, I need to know this. No problem. Come in and he will teach. At odd times we could call him. He would teach. We could call him. There were times that, you know, I'd call in order to understand something or to ask something and I need detailed explanation. A while after Isha, in times like this too, we could call Ustad Sahib at 10 o'clock and 10:30 and say, it was wrong of us when we were growing that we troubled Ustad Sahib so much. But he never showed us that it's trouble. He was always there to take our call and say, Ji, what do you want? And then he was there to help us. And Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, that Shafqa was there all the time, continuously. Until that's one of the things I have lots of difficulty with now. When Ustad Sahib's janaza was going, I was thinking that, now, when I need to pick up the phone and ask, Ya Ustad, Ustad Sahib, I need your help, then I won't be getting that answer.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu.
You know, the work that Allah. He carried and the work that he has done, that's one of the fears, one of the challenges we face, that so much was in his shoulders, and that when he left, I feel like he left it on many other shoulders, on our shoulders as well. And we know that we are not capable of filling such a gap. He's one personality, but how are we capable? We don't feel capable of filling the gap that Ustad Sahib left. I feel like he's, in a way, Isani Brothers were asking us as well, that, you know, or discussing regarding Ustad Sahib. I said that it's difficult to know that, you know, that person that we could just call and mashallah, he was there to give us Shari'i guidance, that he's not there now, that he passed on. But I find solace in knowing that Ustad Sab left a little bit of himself in each of us. That all the students that he's trained and he's taught, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, when they come together and they all have the same spirit of serving the deen that Ustad Sab had, then inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will see the work of such great personalities and such great ulama continuing. Alhamdulillah.
So the
spirit that they left, may Allah Ta'ala preserve.
Ameen. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. You have said some amazing things, Mulana. Allah Kareem bless you.
Ameen.
And all those viewers of Madinah Channel who have been listening to tonight's program, we have lost a great scholar.
Absolutely.
There is no doubt. And these are also signs, dear viewers, that we are getting closer and closer to the final hour. And that is the day of resurrection, the day of judgment, the day of accountability. By losing people of knowledge, people who possess knowledge, the ilm will be taken away from the world before that last hour, before the final hour. How will knowledge disappear from the world? When people who possess them will be leaving this dunya, dear viewers. So from time to time in all the books, they have been praised, dear viewers, heavenly books. Any people of knowledge, people of ilm have been praised in ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. So let's link up with the scholars of deen, inshallah. Let's not feel shy. And you know, at the end, before I even terminate, we all strive to become pious. Everybody wants to be abid. Everybody wants to be pious. Kaun mana kar raha? Aap zarur bane, muttaqi bane. Parihazgar bane. Become humble, become pious. Taqwa is something that we all should possess. But remember, dear viewers, one alim is 1,000 times heavier upon shaitan than many abids, many worshippers, Mawlana Sahib. Allahu Akbar. So if you ask shaitan, who worries you the most, or from whom are you scared the most, he will say the scholars of deen. Shaitan will give you a reply like that. Why? Because his threat is only the scholars. Because a worshipper is striving for salvation for himself. He is striving to for salvation for himself. He wants to protect himself only from the hellfire. Alim-e-Din is waiting to take the whole community to Jannah. Alim-e-Din is waiting to take his entire community to paradise. He doesn't want to save himself only from the hellfire. He wants to save you as well.
Alhamdulillah.
And himself. So this teaches us we should be closer to the ulama's, dear viewers.
One last trick I want to share. If this is true, and most definitely it's true, that ulama-i-kiram are not only worried about themselves, they want to save their communities as well from the hellfire. So you need those people who are going to save others, who are going to save you, who will save you as well to the best of their ability from the hellfire.
I agree.
Imagine if such a person was so close to you, not just on your contact list as a person, but on your contact list under the name son, under the name daughter, alim and alima. You can have someone so close to you that can try to save you from the hellfire. That person could be your own child. It can be your own sibling.
What a thing to say.
Try from your family. Dedicate the most knowledgeable, the wisest, the most intelligent child of your family to become an alim. And if that child is becoming an alim to save the community, do we think he's going to forget his father and mother? Do we think he's going to forget his brother and sister? Do we
Allah
think he's
Allah.
Going to forget his son and daughter? He's going to remember them first. And so, when it is time for them to do shafa'ah and to pull people towards Jannah, my hope is you worked hard in the dunya to make them ulama. They're going to remember you when you need it most.
Kya baat hai. MashaAllah. Bahut bahut shukriya, dear viewers. We are grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who had given us an opportunity to once again broadcast such programs, alhamdulillah. And we are able to echo these sentiments, mashallah. Beautiful Madani pearls by our Ziyad Madani, hafidhahullah. And we will meet again, inshallah. Keep reciting Durood-e Pak upon the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah.